The sound of North Yorkshire. And all the music you love.
BBC. Coming up in a half hour, your weekly visit. Where in the world was Andy Mossack? It's on a Thursday night, so don't be that confused. But the form stays the same. The man in question will be here in half an hour's time with a full travel log from the past. But before we get that, we have to guess where he is. Clue now, one after 11. Here's where we stand. I was on a group of tropical islands classed as a British overseas territory since 62, originally called Las Tortugas by Christopher Columbus. The turtle has remained as the island's national emblem. So what do you think, having heard that? Las Tortugas, probably the biggest clue. Columbus, I'm thinking we're heading west. 81333 RUSS when you drop by and say hi. If you can help me on the phone where it's free, it's 0800 389 3333. facebook.com/latenightrussell. Another clue after 11. Where do you think he is? Done.
The sound of North Yorkshire. And all the music you love.
BBC. Coming up within the next half hour, this week's edition, Where in the World Was Andy Mossack? Now, some strong leads off that first clue. I've got the second one now, and the man in question is coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes' time. Stingray City is one of the most popular tourist attractions here. Just a short boat ride away from the main island, possible to swim with hundreds of stingrays in the wild, free to come and go as they please. Well, what do you make of that? You might have done this in the past. If so, I'm very jealous. It sounds awesome. Stingray City. Does that confirm your plump or make you think twice? 0800 389 3333. 0800 389 3333. We've got to track him down and we've got to do it soon. 81333 RUSS when you drop by and say hi on the text and on Twitter. You can find me at Dame Edith Evans. This week's edition on the way in two ticks. Now on a Thursday. What a dramatic twist. Ahead of his return to fresh destinations, in an extra little treat for a Thursday night, we say once more, good evening, Mr. Andy Mossack. Ahoy, hoy.
Evening, Mr. Walker. Ahoy, hoy to you too.
Ahoy, hoy. Now, I believe at the very moment you are making preparations for your next trip. And I mean, you've apparently forgotten how to pack, Andy.
Oh, you know, I was saying to Darren, yeah, I've got a system which is foolproof, utterly foolproof. You can never forget anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's all gone completely. You know, just there's stuff everywhere. And of course the missus, she's coming with me, and you know, there's two lots of stuff we've got to worry about. So it's just chaos.
just surrounded by piles of clothes and, you know.
Exactly.
And, yeah. I've got to say, with the life of an international travel writer extraordinaire, bon vivant and playboy like yourself, Andy, do you have, like, you know, so is there, like, what's in the essentials kit? Do you have, like, a medical kit that you take with you as well and all this? Because I do, and I never use anything from it, but I just keep adding to it every time I go on holiday. So I tend to go away on holiday, and I fly, and I've got about 300 plasters in a bag.
Well, you can never have enough, as far as I'm concerned. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I've got a special, like, you know, sort of a small bit, a kit with everything in it, you know. And yeah, that stays in the one of the suitcases. But, oh, you know, man. It's just it's all a mystery now. Oh. I've given it all up. But the secret to me is rolling all your clothes up. You know, you roll them.
Bingo. Roll your
That's
stuff.
The way. You roll it.
You get far less creases, don't you, Andy?
Yeah, it's all creased and it all sits in there beautifully. Yeah, it's good. Gorgeous. Yeah, it fits in really well.
Gorgeous.
If only I could remember how to do it.
Exactly. That would be handy, wouldn't it, as you prepare for this? But for tonight, we're looking back on the again into the into the past here, and we put our heads together. Nobody has said anything other than the Cayman Islands.
Yes. Bingo.
Straight in. The Cayman Islands. This is somewhere I only ever hear about in news stories. I didn't really,
really?
Know. Yeah. Because you often hear about, you know, for example, companies that are based in the Cayman Islands. I've never I've never really thought of it as a tourist destination.
Well, let me change your mind then, because it most certainly is. And it is the most westerly of the Caribbean islands. So it's Cuba and Jamaica are the neighbours. But, you know, some might say that with, when it comes to the sort of the Caribbean islands, you've seen one, you've seen them all, you know. But each one, I can promise you, is different in some way. And they each have their own culture, food and traditions. And the Cayman Islands is probably considered to be the foodie capital of the Caribbean. No question. They
really,
have food festivals.
Capital? I would never have thought
Yeah, they have food festivals on, like, every month. There's something going on food-wise there. And don't forget, there's quite a lot of Americans normally who go there too, because it's quite close to the States. So they've got to cater for Americans' palate. They've got the locals as well. It's a real mixed bag, but yeah, food is big. Got some very, very talented chefs out there. But it's also got, you know, great beaches and great turquoise sea. You know, it really is. But I was there a couple of years ago now, and you know, had a really, really great adventure. It was lovely.
So what kind of things were on your to-do list then? When you, because you knew, obviously, you were flying into the Cayman Islands, and you think, right, okay, here we go. What's on the essential to-do list when you're there?
Right. Well, you've got to do a bit of scuba diving if you can get a scuba, or just, you know, just doing paddling around with a you know, mask on and a snorkel. Because it's really the home of scuba diving. It's where it kicked off in the 60s. The three islands there in the Caymans, you've got the Grand Cayman, you've got Cayman Brac and Little Cayman. And basically what they are the exposed top of an underwater mountain. So underwater, the sides of this mountain are huge, a side, very steep, vertical. So this kind of wall diving, it just provides something really extraordinary for anyone who's into diving. It's got this yawning 25,000 foot undersea abyss. And for scuba divers, it's absolute heaven, you know. It is, it's quite an extraordinary place. And that, it being the mountain underneath the landscape is just phenomenal. So, yeah, diving is probably the number one outdoor sport there.
Wow.
Stingray City itself is really a you know, must do, really, because it's a shallow sandbar that's sort of a half an hour out in sea by boat. And the fishermen used to do this for decades. They used to gut fish in the, when they were out working, used to gut fish there. And so the stingrays suddenly cottoned onto this, and they sort of gathered there all the time, waiting for basically a banquet, you know. So they know they're going to be there. And so you have these boat sort of excursions out there, and it only comes up to sort of your stomach in terms of, you know, the depth, although you're in the middle of the sea, which is weird. But so you get out and you've got these giant stingrays who just lay themselves on your arms. You hold your arms out and these sort of giant, beautiful beasts, they're like giant mushrooms, really, lying on your arms. yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. And I was a little bit troubled by it, I won't lie, because I thought, ecologically, is this good? You know, we're sort of, they're depending on us for food and things like that. So I wasn't, I wasn't crazy about it. But on the other hand, they can do what they like. They can come and go as they want. So I thought, it's all right.
With the sea being that shallow, right, at Stingray City, I imagine that with the sea being that shallow, it must be pretty warm, that water.
Oh, yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's like a bath. It's really great.
Man.
It's really great. And then I think I remember telling you about this thing. It was bioluminescent plankton. It's the most bizarre thing. You go out at night and you've got this luminescent plankton which sort of charge up in sunlight, and then during the day, and then at night you go there, and they're so small, these things, they're microscopic. So there's like 100,000 of them in a per liter of water. And then you suit up, put on a pair of goggles at night, and then you're in this sheltered bay, chest deep, and you wave your arms underwater, and it's like putting magic dust under the water, and this blue white glow comes up. It's quite extraordinary. And there's obviously, you know, marine science behind it, involving the sun's rays and stored by millions of plankton that jettison it on contact. But honestly, you just sit and enjoy the beauty of it all. You know, it's just quite magical, really.
Oh, so what a thing to see. Good. What a thing to experience.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic, yeah. And I think they only do it on the Cayman Islands. It's the other Caribbean islands don't have it. So it's weird, isn't it? The other couple of things I did also, which was memorable for me, I did beach horse riding. You know, you don't even have to know how to ride a horse. You basically just go on there and you
just walk along the beach. Is it like a posh donkey ride? Is it like a posh, posh donkey ride, that is, yeah?
Yes, but there's a twist, Russ.
Oh, yeah.
There's a twist. Oh, yeah, there's a twist. So I'm getting there, I'm enjoying this. I'm thinking, this is lovely. There's about six other horses with riders on it. And we're sort of just doing this. And then they stop. And the guy says, okay, can you get off now? And we get off and they take the saddles off all the horses. And then we have to get back on it again because they're going to go into the sea, right? So I thought, well, I need to show them that I can do this. And I was going to, you know what they did in, you know, in cowboy movies when they do a running jump onto the horse?
Right? Oh, no, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'll do that. Then I thought I better not do that actually because it's no saddle, there's nothing there. So I ended up with a little small step ladder instead. You know? So I got up on the step ladder, right? I'm on the bare back of this horse, and then off it goes with the other, and we're going into water, and it keeps going into the water, and it goes deeper and deeper, and in the end the horse is swimming in the water in
with
the
you
ocean,
on its back,
with me hanging on for dear life. And then he starts making gurgling noises. And the guy, the leader of the horse riding, said, ah, that's quite normal. Don't worry about it. Sounds like he's, you know, it sounds like he's suffocating with water, but don't worry about it. He's fine. And he was, you know, he was quite, once you got used to it. And we went out for about half an hour, still swimming, and then came back. And then the horse just rolled around on the sand afterwards. They obviously love it. You know, they have a great time.
Did you roll around with him? Because you must have formed a bond after a half hour out there in the deep.
We formed a bond. I kid. Yeah. And the man said, "What? Well, I mean, what a horse! Hey, saved my life. It was beautiful, beautiful moment. Man and horse together. Oh, you know." And it was sunset. You could almost hear the strings and the orchestra playing.
That would have been gorgeous, wouldn't it? What a moment!
I know. But yeah, so there is lots of stuff to do there. Yeah, there's some great stuff to do. And I must mention one thing as well, actually, because I did contact them to see what's going on since I was there.
Yeah.
And have you heard of the Digital Nomad projects?
No, I haven't. It sounds very cutting edge.
Well, Digital Nomad's about people who can work remotely. Okay, so that's the kind of the new thing is you can work at home or you can work anywhere in the world and keep working. So they've just launched this thing called the Global Citizen Concierge Program in the Cayman Islands. So if you have the necessary criteria, you can stay and work on the island remotely, right, for up to 2 years. They give you special permission to go and live there. And you basically are effectively a local. You become a local for 2 years. You buy property, you can have a driver's license, you can come and go as you please. And it's organized by the government and the Department of Tourism. And the application deadline is the 31st of October this year. So if you want to go and live in paradise and get paid for it, if you can do that with your job, this is an opportunity.
I think I saw a couple on the news about 2 weeks
ago.
There's
a British family. Yes. There's a British family who've done it. They've got kids and everything and went out there. And they're having a great time, apparently. They're snorkeling and they're eating out in restaurants, having a great time. And it's all basically supported by the Cayman Islands project. So it's, yeah.
Do you know what, though? I mean, you can put, you know, I mean, that's a cutting edge sort of post-COVID reality type affair. You've got everything else there. I'm sure that, you know, wonderful chefs, your modern brilliance. The good thing about islands in the Caribbean, though, is when you look into the names that certain places have and the reason that they have them, and you just know that there's a lot that's based in sort of, you know, the classic
piratical times of the 17th century. And it's like, you look on like, you know, you look on the east side of the island and of the Cayman Islands, as in the larger, like Grand Cayman, and you go over there, you've got Old Man Bay is one of them, and then one called Gun Bay. And you just think, well, you just know that how much treasure was buried on these islands over the years, staggering amounts. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What
Can
a
you
treat.
Imagine? In fact, they do have Pirate Week every year.
Do they?
They do.
Arr.
Yeah, aharin, ahar. And they come in dressed up as pirates and raid all these bars and all kinds of things, you know, and they have these battles of ships in the, you know, sort of made up battles they have out in the bay. They have great fun. Yeah, I saw one when I was there during Pirate Week. There was a guy who looked the spitting image of Johnny Depp. I swear to God, he was. Yeah, it was
Captain Jack Sparrow himself.
Indeed. I mean, what a fun time to be a pirate.
You can imagine, can't you? Well, absolutely lovely. Well, I mean, what a treat to have gone there. Do you think, are you hoping one day you'll get back?
I definitely want to, for sure. I mean, but there's still a few of those islands I haven't been to yet. So the Caribbean is still, you know, I've been to a few, but not enough. So I want to get back there. And the rum, because I love the rum. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Well,
crazy not to, right?
Well, I think it'd be rude not to, wouldn't it, Andy?
It would.
You know, help yourself to a bottle, my friend. It's the only way. When in Rome, wonderful stuff. So the answer was the Cayman Islands. Very, very nice indeed. I shall leave you to get on with your packing. And I think next time we speak to you, next week, I mean, you'll be live outside your house.
Well, it's all terribly exciting.
It is. Absolutely great. Wait. Brilliant. Yeah. You have a good one, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Take care.
See ya. There he goes. Andy Mossack, the answer, the Cayman Islands.